I'm going to talk about Excel pivot tables. Pivot tables are a really nifty, great tool if you have a data set and you have to maybe tally up a number of different variables or do cross-tabulations between them and the like. So last Saturday, the Bay State Council of the Blind had their annual fall conference, and I was the coordinator of that. And among other things, I had to track registration and various other things, and pivot tables were just a fantastic tool for doing that. Among the things I had to track were who registered, how much they paid, how many of those people there were. You could give optional donations, so, you know, how many people gave optional donations, what the amount of that money was. People had to order lunch, so I had to tally, you know, their lunch choices, because there were five or six different sandwiches that you could have. Some people were paying on the same day, other people prepaid with Eventbrite, which is a great site for organizing events. People could designate how they wanted to get their agenda, either emailed ahead of time or in Braille or large print, and several other questions. With this tool called Pivot Tables, I could monitor all of that stuff, not only come up with a final tally at the end of it all, but update all the way along. So at any point prior to the conference, I could, you know, come up with figures on all of the things that I just told you about and a few more that I've forgotten there. Let me also say that we had two data sources. I mentioned Eventbrite, and this was really great because, well, people would go online and they would fill out a form with their contact information, as well as answering all those questions that I just mentioned to you. Also, there were afternoon breakout sessions, so they could pick from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock which session of three they would like to attend, also from 2:15 to 3:15, another three sessions that they could attend. So this really helped in planning and all of that. Folks would fill that out. They would also pay, and I could very easily download an Excel file with all of that information. In addition, for those people who weren't that comfortable browsing the web, going onto that site, but they could call in and to some of our members who would then take down that information and email that to me. So I had two sort of data sources, and I go through those details a little bit because, you know, understanding the data a bit will be sort of important for the rest of it. So the first step in doing pivot tables is to have your data set already. And so I'm going to go get that now.
Windows M. D. Documents. D. Downloads. D. Dropbox. Enter.
And I, by the way, love Dropbox.
T. Training file. Enter. Training files. Item C. Conference registration. Pivot table. Practice.xlsa. Enter. Clipboard list box.
I've simplified this table a little bit to get rid of a few of the superfluous variables, but there were, what would come from Eventbrite would be 31 columns of data with all those things I told you about, plus, you know, people's contact information and a few things that they had, like, you know, a ticket number and all of these types of things that really didn't interest me. But the data set was pretty big, you know, by the end, as I said, about 31 columns of data. And after everyone had registered, something like 81 rows. Pretty big set there. I'll go to the top left here.
First cell, order number A1.
We have things like order number. I'll go to the right a little bit. I got rid of some of these variables, but I still have all the way to column T here. And let me just go through here a little bit.
Order date, B1. Name, C1.
Name, that's obvious. I've just put first name. Kept the first names.
Quantity, D1.
This quantity column has the number 1 down.
1, 1, 1.
Okay, D4. So that's just
quantity, D1, at your current data region.
And I'm only telling you this because that was good that that's there. If such a variable or column is not there, it's good for you to put it in and just put 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. If what you're going to do, and a lot of what you do in pivot tables is just counting stuff, you know, counting the numbers of different lunches, tuna salad versus turkey or whatever it might be. So having a column like that, which is 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, is actually useful. I'll go to the right again a little bit.
Ticket type, E1.
Now, ticket type. This case, we had two possibilities. One was
full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks, E2.
Full conference registration, where you would pay $20. But there was also the possibility of doing an optional donation.
Full conference, optional donation, left parent, separate paid registration, ticket required to attend conference, right parent, E7.
Okay, and this will become important in a little bit, you know, once we start generating these tables.
Ticket type, E1.
I'll go back up to the top.
Data region. Attendee number F1, order type G1.
There were different order types. You could prepay via Eventbrite. You could also use Eventbrite for a little while and pay at the door later on. When I discovered that was there, I removed that because the whole idea of having this Eventbrite was so that you paid, you know, ahead of time. But again, people who phoned in their registrations could not pay via Eventbrite, so they had the choice of cash or check and so on. And
edge of current data region. PayPal order type G1.
Okay, I'll keep going to the right a little bit.
Currency H1. Total paid I1.
Amounts paid.
Please paid J1. Eventbrite fees.
There's some Eventbrite fees.
Eventbrite payment processing L1. Home city M1. Eventbrite pick home city M1. Gender M1. Is this your first time attending a Bay State Council of the Blind Conference O1?
Are you a first timer?
In which format would you like the conference program P1?
Okay, what the format of the agenda?
Lunch choice, Q1.
Your lunch choice? There are about five or six.
Which breakout session do you intend to attend from?
And as I said, I mentioned there are three breakout sessions. Now,
order number A1, edge of current data region.
One very important thing to get these pivot tables working right when you have the data set is that you cannot have any cells that are empty. And when you're dealing with real-world data, you'll run into that a lot. If you're doing surveys, there'll be often people who don't respond to questions for various reasons. In this case, there were a number of empty cells because when people paid with Eventbrite, basically all of the variables were taken care of. Something was filled in every case. But if people did an optional donation, cells for such things as what's your lunch choice, what breakout sessions do you want to go to, etc., they were all empty. In addition, when people called in their registrations, we didn't put on in all this extra stuff. We just really stuck to the essentials, which were what we needed for ordering. So before we can start generating these pivot tables, we need to somehow fill in all of those empty cells with something or other, okay, so that they're not empty. That could be very, very time-consuming because I've checked this. There are over 200 empty cells or something like that. So to do that manually would take, well past the conference.
In the breakout sessions table, it was possible to attend more than one breakout session. How did you handle that? Or did you have a different cell for each breakout?
No, there was session one at 1 o'clock, and there was session 2 at 2:15. You could only pick one at 1 o'clock and one at 2:15.
Oh, I see. Okay.
These are radio buttons where you can only pick one of those. Okay. So, luckily, there's a very easy way to fill in those empty cells with something, whatever you want to put in, and we use in Excel the find and replace command. So I'm first going to select the entire table. And there's a quick way to do that. I'm going to make sure I'm at the very top left at A1.
6.84U plus order number A1.
I'm at cell A1. And if you normally do Control End, that will put you at the cell that is the intersection of the last column with at least one piece of data and the last row with at least one piece of data. So if I do Shift Control End, that will select me from where I am right now, A1. All the way to the bottom right of the table. So I'll do Shift Control End.
Control Shift End. Select A1. Order number T81. No.
So you heard it say selected A1 to T81. So A1 is the top left, T81 is the bottom right. And now I'll hit Control H. That is our find and replace command.
Control H, find and replace dialog, replace page, find what colon edit combo to set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value, hold
in. So I'm in an edit box where it says find what. In this case, I don't want to type anything in there because I want to find everything that's empty, okay? And now I'm going to tab to replace.
Tab, replace with colon edit combo to set the value, use the arrow keys or type the value, hold
in. And I can type something and I'll just type in here, not applicable.
N-O-T space A-P-P-L-I-C-A-P-L-E.
Okay. Now I'm going to tab twice to where it says replace all. So it's going to replace every empty cell with these words not applicable. Or I could put what in.
Tab. Options greater button to activate tab. Replace with colon. Replace all button to activate. Press spacebar.
So it says replace all button. I'll spacebar that and you will hear.
Space. Find and replace Microsoft Excel dialog. Excel has completed its search and has made 238 replacements.
Okay, so button to activate. 238 spacebar. Replacements. We'd be going a lot longer if I didn't have that way. So now escape out of
escape.
That.
order number A1.
Okay, 6.84
E plus 0 first cell, order number A.
Okay, so now I'm ready to generate what's called a pivot table. And that'll be sort of a curious thing. We have pivot tables and then pivot reports. So first thing I need to do is reselect my entire data range. So I'll do Shift Control End to get that A1 to T81 again.
Control Shift End, select A1, order number T81, no.
Okay, and I'm now going to open up my ribbons with the Alt key because I'm now ready to generate a pivot table. And say ribbons, please say something.
Selected range A1, order number T81, no. Upper ribbon, home tag, to change ribbons, use left or right arrows to navigate the current ribbon, use tag
sure
or shift tag,
there.
Alt followed by H.
Okay, there we are. I will right arrow once to the insert tab.
Insert tab to change ribbons, use left or right arrows to navigate the current ribbon, use tab or shift tab, alt followed by N.
And I'll tab once into the lower ribbon.
Tab, lower ribbon, tables, group box, pivot table, split button, press enter or spacebar for more options, alt followed by N, V.
And it says pivot tables. Alt N, V, that's your shortcut key. Now I'm using actually here Excel 2010. If you use Excel 2016, you hear something slightly different. Here you hear it say table submenu. But if you hit enter on that submenu, the first thing you land on is pivot table. So there'll be a couple of places where what I'm doing in 2010 sounds a little different than 2016. Anyway, I'm landed on pivot table. I'm going to hit enter on that.
Enter, menu, lower ribbon, tables, group box, pivot table, split button to move through the controls on this ribbon. Use tab or shift tab or use the arrow keys, alt followed by N, V, T.
Okay, I'm going to hit enter again on this pivot table button a second time.
Enter, menu. Create pivot table dialog. Choose the data that you want to analyze. Table slash range colon edit. Sheet 1. Dollar A1 dollar colon dollar T81 dollars. Type of text.
Okay, so this opened up a little dialog box for your data range, and you heard it was already pre-populated with my A1 to T81 because I had selected that. Okay, I'm going to tab.
Tab. New worksheet radio button checked. 1 of 2. To change the selection, press up or down arrow.
Now here it says new worksheet. I do have the option, I guess. I would never do it. Of putting this data on the same sheet that I'm in. So one thing when you do pivot tables means this implies that you're going to be using multiple worksheets. And there are a few keystrokes you'll need to know for that. So when we get to that point, I'll talk about them. But I'm going to tab again.
Tab, OK button to activate.
And I'll spacebar my OK button.
Space, sheet 2, blank, A3.
Now,
A3.
We have now generated what's called a pivot table, but something very curious has happened here if you are a JAWS user. We've gone to another sheet. We're on sheet 2. Sheet 1 was where our data was. We land on cell A3, but if you start arrowing around here, at least with JAWS and NVDA and stuff, you're not going to hear anything. There's nothing here.
Land A4, land A5, land B5, land A5.
Okay. So if you're trying to learn this on your own with Google or whatever, or and listening to somebody sighted talking, end of story. there's nothing to be done. But somehow, if I had somebody sighted looking over my shoulder, I think they'd see something here. The pivot table, whatever that is, that mysterious thing is sitting here, starting in cell A3.
Land A4, land A3.
And remember, I did that Control End to get to the bottom right. I'll do that again.
Last cell, land, C20.
So it is, this mysterious thing is sitting here between cells A3 and C20 in that block. So if you do what I'm about to do in a moment, and you're anywhere in that block, it will work. If you're anywhere outside that block, it won't. So, when you land in this area and it says A3, stay there. Don't go up to A1 or anything like that. So I'll go back to A3.
First cell, land A1, land A2, land A3.
And I think these things are called pivot tables because something visually right now was going on and somehow you shift these things around. I don't know exactly what it is. I used to think it was like some French guy named Pivot, Monsieur Pivot. Well, Monsieur Pivot's a genius because these are great things. So,
David, how did you know to be on A3?
It always lands you there.
Okay.
When I first learned this, I had to do it with somebody sighted helping me out who knew JAWS. But if you're on A3, A4, whatever, but you will always land on A3. And I just know that because I've done enough, so you always land on A3. So you might as well stay there. So this is a pivot table, a very strange, mysterious thing. We're going to now create, and not accessible really in terms of seeing anything, but now we're going to create what are called pivot reports. And this means we are generating tables. A pivot table or a pivot report, or let's just say a table in general of any kind, generally has three parts to it. One is you have a top row. Let's take the example of, you know, you want to do a table of your monthly utility bills. So along the top row, you put the months of the year, January, February, etc. And along the left column going down, you put the different types of utilities, gas, water, cell phone, etc. And in the middle of the table, you put these things called values. That could be, you know, the amount of money you spent, or the number of things you did, or the percentages, or whatever. So these tables in general, and pivot tables in particular, have three parts to them. That top row that I told you about with January, February, etc. January, February, and so on are called column labels. Why? Because everything going down the January column are, you know, the amounts of money we paid for utilities for January, same for February, etc. Okay? So those are called column labels, that first row across. That left column down, everything there are called row labels, because if you are in the gas row, everything there relates to your gas bill, water bill, row, etc. And then everything in the middle, dollars, quantities, percentages, are called values. And this is important because to generate our tables, we're going to use these variables, these different variables that I talked about earlier, and we will generate tables. A pivot table or a pivot report has to have a minimum of the values in the middle and either the row labels or the column labels or both if you're sort of cross-tabulating things. So I'm still on cell A3, so keep that in mind, what
Blank
I just said
A4.
There.
Blank A3.
Okay. I think pivot tables also open up multiple panes, multiple windows, or multiple panes inside your window. And with JAWS, we generally, when we want to move between panes, we use the F6 key. So I'm going to use the F6 key now to get to a point where I can now generate these things called pivot reports. So F6, here goes.
F6, menu, pivot table, field list button, drop down. To move through items, press up or down arrow.
And we hear it say pivot table, field list, drop down. Now, you may hear something slightly different in 2016. I forget the exact wording, but I'm going to hit enter on this right now.
Enter, leaving menus, pivot table, field list, layout, pivot table, field list, submenu, pivot table, field list, layout, list box, field section, and area section, stack button selected. To move to an item, press the arrow key.
And there are different types of these that you can up arrow, down arrow through. I just notice if I hit enter on this word that had the word stacked in there somewhere, that will work. So I'm going to hit enter again.
Enter, menu, pivot table, field list button, drop down. To move through items, press up or down arrow.
Now, after I've done that, if I tab once, I will have the list of all those variables that I mentioned earlier that we can down arrow through and select individual ones to create our table. So I'll tab once.
Tab, leaving menus, order number button to activate, press space bar.
So it says order number button. I'm going to first create a really simple table with people's lunch choices. To do that, I need a value, and that value will be my variable that is just quantity, just 111, because I'm just counting stuff up. So I'll down arrow to quantity.
Order date button to name button to add quantity button to activate, press space bar.
So there it says quantity. Now it says hit space bar. I wouldn't do that. And when I did that, funny things would happen. But I down arrow to quantity, and now I'm going to open my applications key.
Applications, context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow. A, add to report filter. A.
And I have a choice of things that I can make quantity as part of my table. And these are?
Add to row labels, A.
Row labels.
Add to column labels, A.
Column labels.
Add to values, A.
Or values. I'm going to make this my values because we're counting stuff up. This is what's going to be in the middle of the table. The number of tuna salads, the number of steak sandwiches, and so on. And I'll hit enter on that.
Enter, leaving menus, quantity button to activate, press space bar.
And that just puts me back over in my list of variables. And now I'm just going to down arrow to the lunch choices.
Ticket type button to act, attendee number button, order type button to currency button to total pay button to please pay button to Eventbrite please button, Eventbrite payment, home city button to act.
By the way, because these are buttons, you can't first letter navigate to them. So if I happen to know it began with L, it wouldn't do me any good.
Gender button to, this is your first time attend, in which format would you, lunch choice button to activate, press space bar.
Lunch choice button. I'm going to hit my applications key again.
Applications, context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow, A, add to report filter, A.
And I'm going to down arrow to row label because I want these to be the row labels. I want these lunches to be that leftmost column, my different lunch choices.
Add to row labels A.
Add to row labels. If I made it column labels, then it would be that top row, and the lunch choices would just be a single row. So I'm going to hit enter on this.
Enter, leaving menus, lunch choice button to activate, press spacebar.
And if all has gone well, I have generated my first pivot report, and I'm going to F6 to get back to that, and what was blank will now actually have stuff in it.
F6, click an item to pay F6, status bar tool by F6, upper ribbon, home tab, F6, leaving menu bar, row labels, A3.
And there we are. When you hear it say A3, when you're back on A3, you know you've hit pay dirt. Okay? I could also have shift F6'd there, you know, just to go back. And now, and you heard it say this time in A3, it didn't say nothing before. It now says
A2, row labels, A3.
Row labels. And if I down arrow, we'll hear our different lunch choices.
Asiago steak sandwich,
A4. Steak sandwich.
Chicken Caesar salad, A5.
Which, what were you, Tim?
I was, chickens. I think I was the turkey.
You were turkey. Yeah.
Mediterranean veggie sandwich, left parent, vegetarian, right parent, not applicable, A8.
Now, you heard not applicable there? Okay, we'll deal with that in a little bit later, but.
Smoked turkey sandwich, A9.
That was me.
Tuna salad, grand total, A11.
And at the bottom, there is a grand total.
If I were to forget and not use the application key and press the space bar for button, what would have happened?
With me in 2010, just funny things happened, like you wound up having the same thing twice in a table or something like that. Well, one thing that's maybe better about 2016 is when you get back to the list of the variables, it says checkbox checked in 2016. So in 2010, I wasn't always entirely sure what was going on. So I'm assuming in 2016, if a checkbox is checked and like you made a mistake, you could spacebar to uncheck it.
All done. Upper ribbon, M, leaving menu bar, menu. Upper ribbon, lower ribbon, define names, group box, define names, split button, enter. Menu, F, E, type, enter.
Okay.
Row labels, A3.
Now, along the top column,
sum of quantity, B3.
It says sum of quantity. And now as I down arrow,
Asiago steak sandwich, 14, B4.
There's my sandwiches.
Chicken Caesar salad, 7, meat, nice. Greek salad, left parent, vegetarian, right parent, 6, meat, Mediterranean veggie sandwich, left parent, vegetarian, right parent, 11, B7.
Okay. And if I do a control down arrow quickly, we'll see the grand total.
Grand total, 80, B11, edge of current,
okay.
Data region.
So what did you do to make that more readable, David, exactly?
I did the define names command.
Okay.
Which, in this particular context, is not in the context menu. So the ribbon keystroke was Alt-M, and then you land right where you can create a, it says define names, you hit enter, and then you type in the word title. Okay, and that makes it so that, you know, as you're up arrowing, down arrowing, you'll hear what's over on the left, and as you're left arrowing, right arrowing in a table, you'll hear what's in the top. One very nice thing here is, as we were down arrowing through all of this, you heard not applicable. And there were 13 not applicables. That's because those were 13 donations that were given. So that was a, you know, a blank space. I have a total here of 80.
So this outlet's grand total, 80.
But that includes the not applicable. So I would like to get rid of that if I could. And it's very easy to do that. We have something called filtering. So I can filter out the answers that I don't want. And that can be very nice when you have something where you've got 5 or 6 or 7 possible answers, and maybe you only want a table generating 1 or 2 or 3. So I'm going to filter out the not applicable so that my 80 becomes really the correct amount of choices. So to do that, I'll
roll
go
labels,
back up to A3 where it says row data.
Row labels, A3.
Row labels.
Data region.
Let me just make sure I'm on A3.
Asiago state row labels, A3.
There's A3. And now I'm going to hit Alt down arrow. And that will bring me into a dialog box where I can select or deselect things that I don't want. I hit Alt.
To move through items, press up or down arrow, S.
Okay, sometimes you hear something, sometimes you don't. But I did Alt down arrow, and now I'm going to Shift Tab back.
Shift Tab, leaving menus, cancel button, Shift Tab, OK button, Shift Tab, tree view, left parent, select all, right parent, check, 1 of 8. To move through or expand items, use the arrow key.
So where you hear it say tree view, select all, checkbox checked. So that means everything is showing. I'll down arrow through my different choices here.
Asiago steak sandwich checked. The chicken Caesar salad checked. Greek salad left parent, vegetarian right parent checked. Mediterranean veggie sandwich not applicable checked.
I'm going to uncheck not applicable.
Space not applicable, not checked.
So now the table, I'm going to tab to OK once.
tab. Type words to search for. OK button to activate.
And space bar.
Space bar. Space.
Now I have the same table, but not applicable is not here anymore. So let me down arrow through.
Asiago steak, sec, chicken, Caesars, Greek salad, left, Mediterranean, smoked turkey, sec, tuna salad, sam, grand total, A10.
There's my grand total. If I right arrow.
Sum of quantity, 67, B10.
It's now 67. That is my real number of lunches. I can filter out stuff that I don't want. I tried to think of, if I hadn't had this, how would have I alternatively done, you know, been able to track 14 or 15 different variables or different create 14 or 15 different tables, and it would have been a horrendous mess. What's super nice about this is you can refresh and update it very easily, and the fact that all these numbers are linked in with each other means you're not going to make stupid mistakes that you would make if you were trying to do it in a very, you know, jerry-rigged type of situation. You know, I'm on a different sheet now, so you should also talk about, I should also talk a little bit about when you're using multiple worksheets in Excel. When I finished this, you know, in the real world thing, I had 15 different sheets or so, and navigating between all of those can be quite tedious. First off, to move between one, you know, from one sheet to another, control page up, control page down. Control page up will move to the previous worksheet in your list. Control page down will work. Will move you to the next one.
And will insert T give you the title of the page you're on?
Yes, it will. I'll do that right now.
Title is Microsoft Excel - Conference Registration Pivot Table Practice .xlsx Sheet 2.
Okay, at the very end it says Sheet 2. So at the very end it will tell you the name of your sheet. Now JAWS has, in addition, another way to move between sheets is if you hit Control Shift S, you'll get a list of those tables. Now, and then again, the nice thing about that is I only have two sheets now, so who really cares? But if you have 10 or 15 or 20, it does help to be able to list them. Plus, you can first letter navigate. I've seen, like we were talking about the AFB, they put out a database a few months ago with all blindness statistics for all 50 states, plus a summary thing. Knowing Control Shift S there is very, very useful if you want to quickly get to Massachusetts or something like that. Another keystroke, and this is JAWS, and this is a very nice element of JAWS, is Shift Insert S. And that gives you a context menu for things related to multiple sheets. And I just try to remember sis, like sister, okay? If you ever have worked with multiple sheets, you know, immediately after creating one, it's a good idea to rename it, because I now have sheet 1 and sheet 2. By the time I have sheet 7, 8, 9, I'm not going to know where I am anymore. So I'm going to hit Shift Insert S, and we'll see the different. It's a little awkward, those keystrokes, but I will try.
Context menu, insert dot 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 to navigate, press up or down arrow, I.
And there are different things we can do in this context menu. I landed on insert, so you could insert a new blank sheet.
Delete, D.
And I'm down arrowing. I could, if I hit enter right now on delete, I would delete this sheet.
Rename, R.
Can rename, which is what I'm going to do in a moment.
Move or copy, dot, 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 M.
And you can move or copy them. And moving can be quite useful because after you've created 10 or 15 or so, you know, you probably want to put them in some other or some order that makes a little bit more sense. Just going to up arrow to rename.
Rename, R.
And I'll hit enter on that.
Enter, leaving menus, sheet to edit.
Okay, and it lands me in an edit box. It's called Sheet 2 right now, just a generic thing, but I'm just going to make it Lunch Choice.
L-U-N-C-H space C-H-O-I-C-E.
And hit enter.
Enter. 67, B10.
And again, you ask, does an insert T tell me the name?
Title is Microsoft Excel - Conference Registration Pivot Table Practice.xlsx Lunch Choice.
This is a very nice feature of JAWS. All of these different things, rename, delete, etc., are buried somewhere in the ribbon. So when I've tried to play with this in NVDA once, and you just have to know where those things are in the ribbons. But here, with Shift Insert S, you have all these basic things here. I generated one pivot table there, and I'm going to go back to the data to generate a second one.
Sheet 1, selected range, A1, order number, T81.
And by the way, I'm going to rename that and just call it data, because then it will be clear where that is.
Context menu, insert dot dot dot.
So I did the Shift Insert S, I'll down arrow to rename.
Delete D, rename R, enter.
And I'll just call it data.
One edit. A, T, A, enter.
Okay.
Selected range, A1, order number, T81, no.
Now, I'm going to generate another table here or report, and that A1 to T81 is still selected, so I don't need to reselect that. So I'll open my ribbons again, Alt.
Upper ribbon, formulas tab, to change ribbons, use left or right arrows to navigate the current ribbon.
I'm on the, I'm over to the right there. I'll go back to insert.
Insert tab, to change ribbons, use left or right arrows.
Tab down once.
Lower ribbon, tables, group box, pivot table, split button, press enter or space bar for more options. Alt enter. Menu, lower ribbon, tables, group box, pivot table, split button to move through.
Enter again.
Enter. Menu. Create pivot table dialog. Choose the data that you want to analyze. Table slash range colon edit. Data $A1$T81. Type.
So again, I'm back in that same dialog box. I'll just tab to the OK button.
Tab, new worksheet. Tab. OK button. Space. Sheet 3. Blank. A3.
And you hear I landed right in that A3 again. I'm now going to do one that's sort of cross-tabulated, where I'd like to count up the number of conference registrants who paid, or you know, who registered to pay, as well as gave donations, and the different ways that they decided to pay those. So I'm going to hit F6.
F6, menu, pivot table, field list button, drop down. To move through items, press up or down arrow.
Again, hit enter once.
Enter, leaving menus, pivot table, field list, submenu, pivot table, field list, layout, list box, field section, and area section.
And enter again.
Enter, menu, pivot table, field list button, drop down. To move through items, press up or down arrow.
And now I'm going to, again, tab to my list of variables. And again, you know, these are the things in row one of the data sheet.
Tab, leaving menus, order number button to activate, press space bar.
I'm going to down arrow again to quantity, because that's my value.
Order date button, name button to act, quantity button to activate, press space bar.
Hit my applications key.
Applications, context menu.
Make that quantity.
Add to row labels, A. Add to column labels, A. Add to values, A.
Or to values, enter.
Enter, leaving menus, quantity button to activate, press space bar.
And now I'll down arrow because I want to find...
Ticket type button to activate, press space bar.
Ticket type. In this case, ticket type was, is it a registration or is it an optional donation? And I will, again, applications key.
Applications, context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow, A. Add to record filter, A.
I'll make this my row labels.
Add to row labels, A.
So again, these two different types of payment, either registration or optional donations, will be in that leftmost column.
Enter, leaving menus, ticket type button to activate, press space bar.
And I'm going to down arrow again.
Attendee number button to order type button to activate, press space bar.
And order type means, did you prepay via PayPal? Did you say you were going to pay by with a check or with cash on the day of the conference, etc.? I'll hit my applications key again.
Applications, context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow, A. Add to record filter, A.
And I'm going to make this the column label.
Add to row labels, A. Add to column labels, A.
And hit enter.
Enter, leaving menus, order type button to activate, press space bar.
And I should now have a table generated, okay? And I will F6, I'll shift F6 back, just because I can just go backwards more quickly, I think.
Shift F6. Sum of quantity, A3.
And there I'm back on my A3, okay? Let me again make this a little easier to read with the defined names.
Alt M, upper ribbon, M, lower ribbon, defined names, group box, defined name, group box, menu, group, 3 of 4.
To move enter on that, center, and type in
menu,
the word.
Name, dialog, T, I, T, L, E.
Now, by the way, I just need to, give it a name. I've given this a name, title, I need to give it a different name than where it is elsewhere, so I'll just call it title 1.
1.
And we can talk about what I did there, if people want, in a moment. And I'll hit enter.
Enter. Sum of quantity, A3.
Now, down my first, that first column, I have...
Row labels, A4. Full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks, A5.
So that's your full registration, the $20 that people had to pay one way or another to get in the door.
Optional donation, left parent, separate paid registration ticket required to attend conference, right parent, A.
An optional donation. Now...
Full conference row labels, A4.
Along my top row here, I have...
Column labels, cash, B4.
Cash.
Check, C4.
Check. And these were that people are going to pay on the day of the conference.
Pay by cash slash at the door dash payment not received, D4.
Okay, that was the Eventbrite option to not pay via Eventbrite.
Pay by check dash payment not received, E4. PayPal completed, F4.
And that's the PayPal where actually people paid. Now,
pay check cops.
I'll go down.
Full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks, A5.
So, for full conference, we had...
Column labels, 8, B5.
Oop.
Row labels, cash, B4.
It's not talking right.
Full conference registration, sum of quantity. Full conference registration, column labels, 8, B5, 7, C5.
Oh, I'm not... Okay, I got the top row wrong. But anyway, I'm going across.
3, D5, 3, E5, 46, F5.
Okay. 46 were the number of...
Row labels, PayPal completed, F4.
PayPals.
Full conference registration includes box lunch
and morning, the grand total of registrants F5. Was...
67, G5.
67. And the grand total of donations were...
Optional donation, left parent, separate paid registration ticket required to attend conference, right parent, 13, G6.
Were 13, okay? And so here, you know, we have sort of a cross-tabulation type of thing. And there are all sorts of things you could do to these. Okay, one thing I did, for example, I won't do that now, but was on the day of the conference, we want to, I don't really care that much about the names of people who have already paid, but I generated a table for the names, the column on the left, were all the names of people who had not paid yet. And I filtered out the PayPal part of it. So we would have a list of people who, you know, we knew had to pay at the door. So that's just, you know, one example. When you put together like 15 or I don't know how many of these different tables, it can be sort of tedious to sort of summarize things. But luckily, Excel has a very, very nice thing when you're using multiple worksheets called paste links. So I can take, for example...
Full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks, 67, G5.
Okay. So I can take that grand total of people who registered, 67, and I can take that number of donations, 13, and that plus whatever other summary statistics from all the other tables I want, I can take and put those on a separate page. So after I had 13 or 14 or 15 of these different worksheets, I created a summary page. You know, whenever I updated stuff, I would just go to the summary page. And, you know, I would see how things have updated. But let me just show you one other thing, which is just how easy it is to refresh this data. So let's say new people came in. So I'm going to go back to the data sheet here quickly.
Lunch choice. Sheet 3, full data, selected range, A1, order number, T80, order number, A1.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly put in, like, a few extra people in here, just so you can see that. I'm just going to... quickly take one of these rows and copy it into the table so that we have, you know, extra participants. So let me just do that quickly. And I'm going to shift down arrow a bunch of times.
Select 6.85E plus 08, A79.
And I'm going to insert some blank rows.
Alt H. I. R. Leaving menus, upper ribbon, home tab, to change ribbons, use left or right arrows, to map, 6.83E, not applicable, A8, not applicable, A81, 6. Not applicable, A80, 6.83E plus 08, A70.
And I'm just going to take this one row and copy it all the way, copy it down so it's the same thing. Total registrants are 67, right?
Yes.
So I'm going to just select this row.
Shift space, select A70,
6.83E
plus
space
08, F70.
I'm going to copy it.
Copy selection to clipboard, office clipboard, click on that blank, A71.
And let me just say, there was 1, 2,
blank, A7,
3,
blank, A7,
4,
blank, A7, blank,
5,
A7, blank,
6,
A70, blank, A77,
7,
blank, A78,
8,
blank, A79, not applicable, A80.
Remember that 8 or 9 new ones are coming in here.
6.83, blank, A71. 6.83E plus 08, A70, blank, A70, select, select, A7, select, A70, select, A75, selected, select, A76, select, A77, selected, select, A78, selected, select, A79, selected.
Make sure
select,
I'm going to
not
that.
Applicable, A8,
okay.
Select, not applicable, A80, selected.
And I will paste, Control V.
Paste it from clipboard.
So I just added like 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 new participants there, okay? I put these in the middle of the table. I did that on purpose rather than tacking them on at the end. Because if you put them in the middle, when you refresh, the data range automatically adjusts. So I added all of those new people in there. And again, remember what I was doing is, you know, I was adding 2 or 3 new people, you know, every day, every week or something like that in the run-up to the conference. So it's really nice to be able to easily refresh your new data. I'm just going to go to any one of the other pivot tables that I've created.
Sheet 3, full conference registration includes box lunch and morning lunch choice, grand total. Sheet 3, full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks, 67, G5.
Okay, so you heard that. This is the one that has all the total registration, okay? So you just need to be inside any one of these pivot tables you've created. I'll hit my applications key.
Applications, menu, copy to move through items.
And I'll down arrow to...
Format cells, number format, dot, refresh, R.
Refresh, and hit enter.
Enter, leaving menus.
Okay.
76, G5.
And the table has now been refreshed. All the tables have been refreshed, including whatever the lunch choice of that person was who I changed. So
row labeled full conference registration includes box lunch and morning snacks 76. Optional donation left parent separate paid registration ticket required to attend conference right parent 13. Grand total 89. G7.
Okay. All of that is updated in the summary and all the other tables that have been created there. So again, it's a very, very powerful tool for
David, until you talked to us about this, I believed that pivot tables were not possible with JAWS.
That's probably because that weird thing that happens when I land on the page that says A3.
Yes.
It goes totally silent on you. Again, the fact that it's blank there is stuff there, but I really couldn't care less what is there. It's not relevant.
But I want to be sure to get this one question, and that is there a place where a JAWS user can go to study and learn how to do this?
The answer, unfortunately, as far as I know, is no, there are some very good YouTube videos that can give you the overall basics of it, but they're all talking click, drag, this and that, and so on and so forth.
Was Control Zable? Can you just undo what you just did with adding? Can you just do a simple kind of a Control Z to undo what you inserting the extra things?
Well, I can undo whatever it was I just did now, but I can't remember what I just did now. Could I undo the refresh? Yeah. Well, yeah. What you do whenever you want to update these pivot tables is you rework your data in some form or another.
Right.
So if I said, oh, gee, I didn't want those seven or eight things in there, then I would go back to the data table and I would change the data table around. And there were times when I found, you know, I had made some mistakes and the mistakes were in the data. So I just changed the data and then refreshed it. And that was fun.
I'm going to adjourn, but I thank you very much for that, David. That was great.